I have the very hard task, almost unmanageable, of number one, getting you to come back to your seats. Number two, following up Kim. How do you do that, right? Wow. So if you ever need an MC for an event that you're doing, now you know that Kim is available, correct? Right? All right. Sounds good. Everybody come have a seat. We're going to do some announcements and get started on the word. You guys excited to be here? Yeah. I feel like getting you guys to stand up like Kim did, because that was kind of fun, but I won't do that. Welcome to the church at Whistling Pines. We are really happy to see you here this morning. If this is your first time, we love it that you're here. Hopefully you filled out a guest registration card so that we have record of your visit. If you have not, and if you have a bulletin, there is a little perforated edge that you could fill out your information and give it to one of the ushers that you saw walk by or somebody that maybe looks important. Ask them if they're important. If they say yes, then hand it to them. All right, sounds good. Do have a few announcements. Before I do that, I want to, as always, introduce myself in case you don't know me. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I'm privileged to first bring announcements and then the word to you this morning. Real quick announcements. Everybody listen, got your thinking cap on, ready to go, because I don't have the enthusiasm that Kim does, so you're going to have to track with me here. First of all, a men's ministry pancake breakfast. If you're a man and you like pancakes, stand up. All right. So that means you must be here. That is Saturday morning, May 5th, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you eat pancakes after 9 a.m., it just does not taste the same. So that's why we started it early, 7 to 9. This is a slight change from the original time that evidently was posted last week. So there's going to be another change as well. We like to keep you on your toes. So Saturday morning, May 5th, from 7 to 9 is a men's pancake breakfast. So you have to be a man, and you have to have an appetite and come. Also, there's a care team training that same day. So that means if you're a man, you get to eat pancakes, and then at 9 o'clock, you get to go into a training session for care team. That sounds like fun to me. I don't know about you. Seriously, it does really sound like fun to me. I like meetings. Everybody else is like, where's the fun part? You didn't connect with me. That's okay, though. So if you'd like to be a part of the care team are those individuals who take up the offering, who bring donuts, who greet you, who set up chairs and tables and chairs, and do all of those kind of things so that when you come in, you feel comfortable, so that you can listen to God, you can have an encounter with Him. It's all because of these people with their hospitality gifts. So if you'd like to be one of those people, we'd really love you to be, and we're going to train you, and that is May 5th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Afterwards, they're going to go to lunch. You can either go home or go with them to lunch. I guarantee you, the people that are on the care team, you won't want to miss going to lunch with them, because it'll be fun. Okay, Roots, there is a family serve event this Sunday, right now, after this service, from 12 to 3 o'clock. Here again, last week, I said you guys were going to be painting. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness. I was wrong. Actually, you're going to be putting together missions bracelets so that when people go on mission trips, they have bracelets to share with people that tells the gospel according to the bead color that you're going to be putting on the bracelets. So that is like a lot of fun. And if you have kids, you need to be a part of that and you need to serve. So that's directly after service. Last but certainly not least, this is another change. Last week, I told you we were going to have a Get Connected service, where you were going to have an opportunity to hear more about our church and be able to decide if you want to be an official member of the church. That's actually not going to be next week, like I said it. We're going to postpone it. But it will be really soon, and it'll be even better than before. Sound good? So it's not next week. But if you were planning on coming, please come anyway, because we'll still be here. We just won't be doing the Get Connected. Right? Okay. Oh, yes. Also, the Fit to Be Tied life group that normally meets in the park or in someone's home, all that kind of thing, is actually going to meet here during the family serve event. So you are going to be serving together if you are in that life group. The Fit to Be Tied life group is still meeting, but it will be here after service. Good. All right. Anything else? We're good? Okay, let's get going here. Let's go to prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today, Lord, to hear your word. God, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, that you just really speak clearly. God, not everything that is going to be said maybe will directly relate to each person, God, but I do believe that you are a big God. You are a God that is active in our lives, and something or many things that will be said this morning coming from your word will directly touch and reach people's lives. So God, I pray that as we're listening, God, we would have an ear to hear your voice and what you are specifically telling us to do with it. God, help us, Lord. And then once we understand it, once we hear your voice, God, that we would be obedient and do what you're telling us to do. God, we love you, and we count it a privilege to serve you and to be together this morning hearing your word. Lord, speak. Speak to us directly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are continuing our series called Conversations with John, going through the book of John, the Gospel of John, the fourth book in the New Testament. And this morning we're going to talk about the Sabbath and Jesus doing work. Jesus doing work. How many know that Jesus does work here today? That Jesus is doing work in your heart, he's doing work in my heart, in my life, in your family's life. He is constantly serving. He is constantly working and doing his will, because that's all he does, because he is God. We're also going to be talking about the Sabbath, which is a day of rest. And what does the Sabbath and Jesus doing work have to do with each other? They almost seem like they're opposites, or they should be opposites. We're talking about rest, and we're talking about the ugly word work, right? Okay, so this is how they're connected. Control. Sabbath and God continuing to work is all about control. All about control, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. First, I don't want you to stand up or anything like that, but just think about it. If maybe you have control issues, and I don't want to see none of the nudging of the husband and wife, and he's talking to you, I hope you're listening, do you have your pen and paper out? But a lot of us have control issues. Some of us are control freaks. We have to be in control. We have to have everything lined up. We have to be in charge. And the Sabbath is all about giving that up. God working is all about him being in charge, him being in control. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. This is continuing the story that we talked about last week when I outed Santa Claus. And this morning I'm thinking about outing the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny for good measure. If you weren't here last week, please listen to it online. You'll understand what I'm talking about. People are already pointing, look, there's kids in here. Okay, I got it. I won't talk about the three-letter word either, okay? We're good. Starts with an S. Okay, wow. Here we go. So last week we talked about Jesus going to the Pool of Bethesda and healing the man that was there for 38 years. And remember the direct command that he said. He said, get up, take up your mat, and walk. So we talked through that. And I told you we were going to come back to it because it's very important. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once, the man was cured. He couldn't walk. He was an invalid for 38 years. He was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Okay, well, you know, maybe that's just, they're kind of coloring the scenery for us. It was a sunny day. The birds were chirping in the trees. This is a bigger kind of detail that we need to see. It was the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, which would be a Saturday. Verse 10, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Okay, so just think about this. Guy, been waiting for 38 years, been continuing to go to the same water hole every week, waiting for the water to be stirred, waiting for God to finally rescue him, finally heal him. He's been waiting, and he's been, I'm sure, complaining and everything else. People are aware of this. Now they see that he's healed. He's healed. Praise God, right? Wow. How did this happen? Should have been the questions. Or, man, tell us more about it. What did you feel when it happened? When did this happen? All of these questions maybe we would ask, but what they saw was, whoa, whoa, buddy, whoa, whoa. This is the Sabbath. Why are you carrying your mat? Right? Floored. So the Orthodox Jews, those who were legalists, particularly the Pharisees, would look at anybody doing anything on the Sabbath day and say, that was a sin. God told you not to do anything. I want to give you a little bit of background, not to bore you, although it doesn't please me at all to bore you. Not to bore you, but we need to understand the foundation so that we can build upon it. We need to understand what the Sabbath is and what's God's way and how does it connect with us and what is rest and all of these kind of things. So we need to start somewhere. In Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments is to keep the Sabbath day holy. And in that, in Exodus chapter 20, it gives, this is the only detail that it gives. You cannot do any work for that day. For a Jew, the Sabbath was sundown on Friday evening to sundown on Saturday evening. That was the Sabbath. You were not allowed to do any work whatsoever. No preparations, nothing. You weren't allowed to have your men servants or your maid servants do any work. You weren't allowed for your animals to do any work. You weren't allowed for any of the aliens that were in your gates or helping out your family or your business to do any work. It was total shut down, okay? Everybody tracking with me so far? Now, those who were very zealous for the law and wanted to continue to add things to it for control. Now, why else would somebody say, young man, why are you picking up your mat? Why are you carrying your mat? This is the Sabbath. After he was healed, it was somebody who wanted to be in control, wanted to be in control of the situation. And so what they would do, the Pharisees, they would add things to it. It got to the point of if you had a straight pin stuck in your clothing, in your cloak or in your robe, and you were walking, you were not doing the Sabbath. You were not being obedient because, number one, you were walking. Number two, you were carrying a burden, the straight pin. Anything that you were carrying that was not supposed to be on your person normally was considered a burden. So they see this guy with a mat, and they freak out. I want to tell a story, but first I want to preface it by saying, by no means do I feel like this is indicative of all Seventh-day Adventists. So this is not me speaking against that denomination or anything else, but I worked for two gentlemen who were Seventh-day Adventists, and they were extreme. They were absolutely extreme. And so at the time, I was a pastor. Loved Jesus. They knew I was a pastor, everything else. And I was working for them, and their business was open on Sundays, in which I was required to work, and I had to get out of because I had duties here at the church. And of course, they were closed on Saturday for the Sabbath. And I remember every single day, and I'm not exaggerating, this isn't hyperbole, this is serious. Every single day, one of them, Steve or Russ, would pull me to the side and gently sometimes very harshly, tell me I was going to hell because I was not observing the Sabbath. True story. I also remember, this is the part where you probably start hating me, I was a telemarketing manager in this job. Yeah. So I had to interview other prospective telemarketers and talk to them about what the job entailed and you know, go through their information, see if they were employable, things like that. So I was having an interview with a lady that seemed very promising. She seemed like, man, she could sell ice to an Eskimo, you know. This is good. You know, we got to talking, and I told her that Saturdays we were off, but that she was required to work on Sundays. And she said, wow, that's kind of weird. It's usually the other way around. Why is that? And I said, well, the owners are Seventh-day Adventists, and they believe in keeping the Sabbath. And she's like, oh, okay, I understand. Well, I'm Catholic, and we started talking through things and started talking about Jesus. I wanted to ask her, well, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because some Catholics do, some do not, and she did. And so we had a really good talk, and I brought in afterwards the application to Russ and Stephen and said, this is a great prospect. I really think you should hire them. And they said, we kind of overheard something when you were talking. Did she say she was Catholic? And I said, yes, she did. and they ripped up the application right in front of me. I was like, is this a joke? I didn't make a copy of this. I mean, do you want me to tape it together? That's funny, but this is really a good prospect. And they said, no, we don't want any Catholics in our organization. And so they were extreme about a lot of things. This man, or men, or individuals that came up to this man who was walking with his mat were also extremists. They said, I don't care if you're healed. I don't care if Jesus is doing something in your life. You are not doing right by the law, and therefore you must stop. So that's what we're being dealt with here. So, but at the same time, we need to come to terms. What about the Sabbath? We're meeting on a Sunday, right? Did you guys know this was a Sunday morning? Okay, good. We're not meeting on a Saturday, and how many people did work yesterday? Raise your hand. Of some sort. You carried a straight pin at least. Okay, all right. So how do we come to terms with what God said in the Old Testament in Exodus and where we are today serving the Lord and gathering together on a Sunday morning? The New Testament calls it the Lord's Day, and we clearly see that when Jesus was resurrected that they started meeting together on the first day of the week, Sunday, and they called it the Lord's Day. It shows up in the book of Acts, and it shows up in 1 Corinthians as well. But before we get into the Sabbath and even understanding what the Sabbath is, because we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, just because there's some extremists that will tell you you're going to hell if you don't keep the Sabbath, or that you can't carry your mat, something that Jesus, in fact, told the man to do. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say the Sabbath and the whole concept of Sabbath is wrong. So, we need to go back to Genesis for a minute. I promise I'm not going to hit every book. Okay, we good? I'm not going to hit every book. In Genesis chapter 3, this is right after the fall of man. This is right when sin entered into the world. Remember, they were in the Garden of Eden, and God told Adam and Eve, you can eat of any tree of the garden, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What do? They eat of it, and they've sinned. They've disobeyed God. Their eyes are open. They realize they're naked. They sew fig leaves together, the first picture of work, really, that we have in the Old Testament, and they hide. Now, further on, when God is dealing with them and bringing their punishment, bringing their correction, this is what he says to the woman. He said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Okay, so sin brought this in for a woman. For a man, this is what he says to the man. Since you listened to your wife, and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle, everybody say struggle, to scratch a living from it. That should be on a shirt, right? Just struggling to. It will grow, verse 18. It sounded good in my head until I said it'd be a long shirt. Verse 18, it will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. Woohoo! Doesn't that sound encouraging? What sin did was it ushered in striving. It ushered in work. And so man had to, as punishment, but with God, he doesn't punish you because he doesn't like you. He doesn't punish you because even you deserve it. He punishes you partly because it's going to happen. It's natural. It's part of his order. And this is what happened. It was part of his order because he knew because of sin, we would naturally have to strive to try to be holy. And in the striving to be holy, which is obviously spiritual, it touches every aspect of our lives, including the physical, including making money, including working, including everything. It's causing us to now strive. You following me? Good. In Colossians chapter 2, we're going to fast forward to the New Testament. This is what Paul writes to the Colossians. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. We need to know that going in. That's why, later on we're going to see that Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath itself is an authority. The rules and regulations, the good things, the bad things that we need to stay away from or that we need to do in Christianity, that is not the authority. Christ alone is the authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done with the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Whoa, now you're introducing circumcision. This is going to be a long service. No, no, no. Listen, what you need to understand is there were certain things that particularly Israel as a people had to do in order to show that they had a relationship with God, a covenant with God. One of them was they had to keep the Sabbath. One of them was circumcision. Circumcision cutting away of the foreskin and basically saying, I'm cutting away of the sin nature. It was a physical act, but it meant much more spiritually. What Paul is saying right here is Jesus fulfilled that. Everybody say, Jesus fulfilled that. Good. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now in the New Testament, we see the picture of covenant relationship with God is water baptism. That's why we do that. That's why we celebrate when there's a new person into the kingdom. We water baptize them and everybody celebrates and is excited. It's an actual physical act that we do, but the spiritual nature is much more important. And what Paul here is saying as well is even this, though it's in the New Testament, the power isn't in the act, the power is in what Christ did. Christ fulfilled it. Everybody say, Christ fulfilled it. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in this uncircumcision of your sinful nature, when you were bad, when you were down and out, when you were striving, when you're trying to be better, nothing's working. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Jesus said that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. That's what that means. All of the written regulations of the law, including the Sabbath, was nailed to the cross because he was nailed to the cross. He did not abolish the law. He became the law. He fulfilled the law. He became our Sabbath. Verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. I want to park in that. This is a shadow. Why is the Sabbath important to us? Physically, it's important. We're going to get to that. I need that more than you guys need that. But also, spiritually, it's a shadow. It shows forth who Jesus is and who Jesus is for us, who he became. Here's the shadow. Going back to Exodus and talking about the actual law and description of what a Sabbath day looks like. Chapter 31, verse 13. Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. He is speaking to Israel, the nation of Israel. It is given so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. So the whole reason for the law, for the Sabbath within the law, is to show a covenant between us and God and also to show us that he makes us holy. He alone makes us holy. If I could break it down into my terminology, it would be this. He gives his people rest from their striving to be holy. They get one day a week where they have to stop striving. And in that day, they stop striving from doing what they're doing, which again, physical impacts spiritual. Spiritual impacts physical. They get one day a week where they are centered on God, centered on giving him their burden, centered on God taking care and taking control of everything that's in their life, the burdens that they carry on a daily basis. For the old covenant, He gave them one day to prove that he's God, to prove that he's in control, and to give them one day of rest. It was needed. It was important. It showed forth what Jesus was going to do. But it was needed for them physically. You can't work 7 days a week. Very long. You can do it, but you start breaking down. Things start happening to you emotionally. Things start happening to you physically. We all need rest. And this was God's way of forcing his people to rest. But even more important than that, to force them to realize he's in control. So that was the shadow, right? Here's what became, and this is what Jesus embodied. In Hebrews 10, 9 through 10, then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant. The old covenant is canceled. In order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy. There's that word again. Holy, set apart. The whole reason for the Sabbath was to make us holy. By the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all time. So the Sabbath day gave us rest for one day from our striving to be holy. Jesus gave his rest for his people to be holy once and for all. Do you see? Do you see the correlation? Why is the Sabbath so important? Why is this guy freaking out, flipping out at this guy carrying his mat? It's because they saw it as control. If they could control them, they look more important to God. God, look, I'm keeping it, and I'm even making sure other people keep it. Because they didn't know any better. They didn't have a relationship with the Messiah. This guy had a relationship, and this guy, the Messiah, told him to carry his mat. So the Sabbath day, as far as keeping it from sundown on Friday evening to sundown on Saturday evening, Christ took that specific regulation away. But he did not take the concept of Sabbath away. Number one, he became our Sabbath. He fulfilled the law. He brings rest. We bring our burdens to him. Guys, if you're like me, you're burdened down this morning. Maybe at work, maybe in your home, maybe in your marriage, maybe all of it together, and you're about to scream, you're about to break, you're about to collapse. Jesus is our rest. We must trust in Jesus. Let's continue to read in John. Are you still there? John chapter 5. Verse 11. So they're confronting the man. Why are you walking on the Sabbath carrying something? You know that's against the law. Verse 11. The man replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Verse 16. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, this was not the first time he did something on the Sabbath. If you can think of everything that the Pharisees would bring against Jesus from the time his ministry started to when they were wanting to crucify him, this was the number one thing that they had against Jesus, was he was habitually breaking the Sabbath. The Jews persecuted him. Verse 17, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And I'm sure some of them are argued, well, if that's the truth, if you're really the Son of God, then why aren't you resting on the seventh day like your Father did? Jesus' defense was that God did not stop working on the Sabbath day, and that neither did he. It is true, God rested on the seventh day, but he rested from creation. It's important that we understand that. It was in the creation process he rested. He was done. Everything that needed to be created was created, and he rested. The rest was important, but he rested from creation. He did not rest from his higher works of judgment, mercy, compassion, and love. That still went on. And that's where the legalists could not get it wrapped around their head. They much preferred it being black and white, and you do nothing. If your brother or your sister or your mother or your father, your wife is dying, you can't do anything to help them because it's the Sabbath. And if you do, you're breaking the law. They forgot the spirit of the law, and they just went to the letter of the law. And I think sometimes the people who do observe the Sabbath day do the same thing. Now, if you're observing a Sabbath day, good for you. I need to. Mark 2:27. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made to serve us. We weren't made to serve the Sabbath. The Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath. He is in charge." The Sabbath was given to serve us, not the other way around. God desires us to rest. Church, I just want to tell you, I want to confess before you where I'm at. And the reason I'm doing this is because I feel like it's needed. I feel like other people are in my position. I feel that God is so faithful. When we started going verse by verse through the book of John and just the whole desire of this church to continue to do that with Scripture and continue to do that with Sunday mornings, God is so faithful. He always brings up the right topic next in Scripture. I don't have to strive as your pastor or Scott as your pastor to come before you with something relevant for you, because God is good. God will do it even though it's planned, because he's that good. I know some of you are in my position. I don't know how to rest. And I know that probably sounds funny, like, that's good. I don't quite get the joke, but I understand you're trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. I truly don't know how to rest. When I was talking with Scott a couple of weeks ago, what I'm about to say first came to my mind. It just never dawned on me, and I uttered it for the first time as well, that to some degree, some level, I'm probably a workaholic. It's an addiction. My father is an alcoholic, and I believe it's the same spirit, because it's a spirit of addiction. And I don't go to the bottle for my worth or to escape. I go to tasks. I go to things to keep me busy that make me feel like I'm doing worthwhile for God and for others. And so I find myself in a place where I don't know how to rest. I have bad headaches all the time. Went to the doctor and he told me they were tension headaches, gave me some medicine for it, but one of the medicine was to rest. And so I came back to the elders, because I'm submitted to the elders, and told them about it, and they're forcing my hand, and I'm very grateful for it. They're forcing me to take one day off a week, which is Thursdays. This week was my first Thursday off, and it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. I know it sounds weird, and you're like, well, gee, man, I want to have your position. They're forcing you to take a day off. Guys, it's harder than it seems. It might be easy for you, but it's hard. There's some things that I can just walk by. I can usually like walk by cake or something, where maybe one of you is like, whoa, I can never walk by cake. How can you do that? You're so strong. It's okay with me. It's hard for me to walk by work or to not do something. I feel guilty. All day on Thursday, I felt guilty. One of you called me on Thursday, and I had to let the call go and not answer it. It was so difficult. Two people texted me as well, two of you, and it was very, very hard not to answer the text, but I'm trying to be obedient to the elders, but more importantly, to God, because I need rest, just as you need rest. And so the concept of the Sabbath is a good one. Let's not throw it out. The baby out with the bathwater. Just because we are no longer required to do it a certain day of the week. And yes, Jesus has become our rest, and I will get the most rest when I give my burdens to Jesus, not just taking a day off. That's not the answer. The answer is me and you giving our burdens to Christ Jesus, who cares for us, who loves us, who shoulders the burden anyway. And he wants to be in control. He wants to be in charge. I'm still a broken vessel. I'm still dirt and clay, and I still want to be in charge. And when I do things and don't rest, I feel like I'm in charge. God wants to take that from me. God wants to take that from you too. He desires us to rest. I know that I'm speaking to some of you. I know that I'm not alone. I think. I don't think I'm alone. I know that I'm not alone. I believe God wanted to say this morning because of that. He wants to free us from this addiction. But I want to take the word even addiction away, because it just brings to mind AA meetings and everything else, which are fine. I'm not going there. All of that stuff's fine, but it's disobedience. Let's call it what it is. It's sin. It's sin. If I'm not resting in the Savior, if I'm not taking care of myself, I can't take care of His kingdom. I cannot advance it. I cannot do the things that I need to do. So it's disobedience. When we are not resting in Him, we are disobeying. When we disobey, we sin. Matthew 11:28 through 30 says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you ever spoken to a youth group before and asked them what a yoke is? It's pretty funny. Most people think, an egg yolk? I don't understand the correlation. What a yolk is usually a wooden thing that goes over oxen and other beasts of burden to bring them together to where they're working together, their head moves, the other head moves. That they're constantly putting their head to the plow, putting their head to the work. And in fact, particularly with the Jews, yoke was a symbol of obedience and hard work. So let's read it this way now. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Be obedient to me and do hard work through me, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, being obedient to me and doing hard work in me, is easy, and my burden is light." I'm feeling burdened. I'm getting tension headaches. I don't know how to rest because I'm trying to do it myself, because you're trying to do it yourself. The burden is heavy and it's hard because we're not doing it through Christ. When we do it through Christ, it is easy and it's light. This is what it says in the Message. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" Again, remember, guys, it's not just about work. It's not just about doing physical things, punching the clock, doing the 9-to-5 thing, doing the 40-hour plus thing. It's more than that. It is steeped in the concept that is in all of us, because we have a fallen nature, to strive to be holy. Hear me, church. It goes back to that. If you are a workaholic, if you do not know how to rest, if you're striving to get ahead in the world, it doesn't do just in your work. It has to do with your striving to be holy. You and I are striving to be holy, to be set apart, to be in right standing with God, to be pleasing in His sight. So it does have to do with religion. Burned out on religion, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I want you to stand with me. Guys, I realize some of you might be saying, "Wow, I am the furthest from this. In fact, my mom always calls me lazy." This is still for you. I believe God is saying something to you still. But I know a lot of us are striving. Maybe you don't strive at work. Maybe you could care less. You just punch the clock. I don't know. Maybe you take pens and post-it notes from work because you feel like they owe it to you because they don't pay you enough. I don't know your situation. But I do know that we all tend to strive to be holy. We all tend to make sure that our knuckles are white and there's sweat on our brow in order to be pleasing to God. Do you know what pleases God? Believing and trusting in His Son. Allowing Jesus to be who Jesus is. Allowing Jesus to be our rest. Do you know what this is as a universal symbol around the world? Surrender. Surrender. Isn't it interesting how when we worship, we lift hands? We see it in the book of Psalms. We see it throughout the Old Testament. It's not something that the New Testament church created or made up. Why do you think we do that? It's worship, but even when we're doing this, we're saying, I surrender. So this morning, if you need to surrender to Jesus, I want you to just lift up your hands and surrender. Don't do it if you don't mean it. If you truly mean, I surrender. I surrender. I'm done doing it myself. I'm done striving to be holy, to be set apart, to be in right standing, to be pleasing before Jesus. I must rely on Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for nailing the requirements of the law to the cross. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus not to abolish the law, but to fulfill and become the law. God, we thank you that he is our Sabbath rest. God, we strive and we worry and we fret. And Lord, we're anxious about many, many things, Lord. Lord, things at work, things at home, things that don't even exist, God, we tend to worry about. The what ifs of the world, Lord, we surrender. Lord, we surrender right now in the name of Jesus. We surrender to you, to your rest, to your son. God, I ask, Lord, that we would be obedient to your word. Lord, we'd be obedient to this command, Lord, to rest. Lord, not on a specific day of the week, but to rest in your son. God, that we would be obedient to your word that says worrying is a sin. God, we repent before you now. Lord, I personally repent of my lack of rest, Lord, and my lack of giving you everything and allowing you to control every aspect of my life. I repent. God, I pray that as we are weak, Lord, your word promises that you will be strong. So God, we ask that you would be strong. God, we are weary and we're coming to you, Lord, and we do believe that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Thank you, God. Lord, allow us, help us, God, to put off the flesh, and God, to put on your yoke. Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, and you would take care of the burdens, Lord, and we would not have to. We surrender. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, we surrender. Amen. Amen. Guys, have a great week. Love you. Get some rest.